Welcome to the VSiN Weekend Morning Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour number three of the VSiN Weekend Morning Line. I'm Tim Murray, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. It's going to be a busy day. I'm excited for today. Last night, we had an unbelievable Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Final as the Florida Panthers, courtesy of Brad Marchand, get it done in double OT, and they are now, the Florida Panthers, the betting favorite to win the Stanley Cup as Corey Perry scored with 8 seconds to go to force overtime. And at that point, I don't know about you, but I thought, all right, Oilers, going to get it done, going to win both of these games there in Edmonton, come back from 3-1 down in the third period to win game one, force overtime in the final seconds, but not to be. Brad Marchand, his second breakaway goal, had a shorty in the second period. He scores the game winner, albeit I thought it was a little soft by Stuart Skinner to let that one in. But regardless, a hell of a game. And the first two games have been tremendous between Florida and Edmonton. We're off until Monday, and that's when we'll reconvene there on the ice there in Sunrise, Florida, as the Stanley Cup champions, now the betting favorite to win the Stanley Cup Final. And right now, if you look at where we sit from a Game 3 standpoint, Florida a minus 136 favorite against the Edmonton Oilers, and that is where we sit heading into game number one. I want to update you real quickly on what we've got going on at Roland Garros. Coco Gauff, who won her first Grand Slam just a little while, 2023, she is looking to win her first ever French Open. She won the U.S. Open in 23. She was a finalist in the French Open in 22. And now she is serving to try to win the championship. So we will keep eyes on that as she is up 5-4 in the third set. She went off as a dog today, and she was around plus 190 as an underdog. Coco Gauff was, and lost the first set, ultimately one set to 6-2, and now trying to serve for the French Open crown here. So we'll keep our eyes on that. We got college baseball going on. Before we get to a little bit of college football discussion, because I had Paul Stone on the podcast earlier this week, and he had a really good breakdown of a number of games. Week one, game of the year, a couple of win totals. One win total that got someone on Twitter very upset as he is fading the Fighting Cignettis of Indiana. But we will get to his best bet here in just a moment. But I wanted to circle back to game two of the NBA Finals tomorrow night between the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Indiana Pacers. And Chris Miles joined the show last hour, and Chris was there for NBA TV doing pregame coverage, doing postgame coverage. And something that jumped out to him, and he said it jumped out to the analysts on the set, including Shaquille O'Neal, which was the demeanor of the Oklahoma City Thunder following the loss. And it was one that was kind of nonchalant. It was, hey, we're fine. Things are going to be okay. And I think you can gather this, too, from this clip of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. This is a team that blew a 15-point lead with 9 minutes to go in game one of the NBA Finals at home. And the demeanor that Chris picked up on, as well as the analysts on NBA TV, was, we'll be fine. Not that big of a deal. So let's hear from SGA following the game one loss and how he's looking into game two for Oklahoma City.
Yeah, we just got to focus on being better. The series isn't first to one, it's first to four. So we have four more games to get. They have three, and that's just where we are. We got to understand that, and we got to get to four before they get to three if we want to win an NBA championship, and it's that simple. It's not rocket science. We lost game one. We have to be better.
So I told you my bet for this one. Maybe it's a sucker play because I recognize I'm paying the tax. You are paying a hefty tax. 11-point spread shouldn't be a 7.5-point first half number, 8 at a lot of shops. So I am paying the tax on that first half for the Oklahoma City Thunder. But when I look at how game one unfolded, and you could tell me that I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth because the Pacers turned the ball over a season high 24 times, and the Oklahoma City Thunder, I look at how much they struggled inside the paint, 23 of 54. And then I also look at the Pacers burying corner threes. What's fascinating to me about the Pacers' victory, not only that they did it again, is the fact that, yes, they turned the ball over 24 times, but they still shot exceptionally well. This is the best three-point shooting team and has been in the playoffs. And they shot 46% from three, 10 of 16 from the corner, which I noted, you know, earlier in the show. So do we see any regression from a shooting standpoint of the Pacers? Oklahoma City, as we've looked at, when they've lost games this postseason, they have responded and then some. As you look at most notably the 87-point performance we saw in Game 2, when they lost at home against the Denver Nuggets, the response there was unbelievable. And that's the only time they've lost at home this postseason. Game 1 of the second round of the Denver Nuggets, and they put up 87 in the first half. So I do anticipate a quick and early response. And then you also think back to the response in Game 7. Now, albeit it was against a team in Denver that was shorthanded, and they were actually losing. Remember, Oklahoma City was losing early on in that game in Game 7. But that's what actually gives me a little bit of, I would say, calm when it comes to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Because remember, they kind of got punched in the mouth early on in Game 7 of that series against Denver. They were down 10 midway through the first quarter, losing after the first quarter, and then they were up double digits at halftime and, of course, went on to win going away against the Denver Nuggets. So I'm going to lay the 7.5. I already did in the first half. And that is the way that I will go. All right, it is official. Coco Gauff, your French Open champion, around a plus 190 underdog today. Coco Gauff lost the first set, and she comes back to win the next two against Sabalenka. And Coco Gauff, for the second time in her career, she is a Grand Slam winner, and she wins the French Open. Well done by Coco Gauff today as she wins 7-6, 6-2, 6-4. And Coco Gauff is the French Open champion. Looks like at South Point earlier today, you could have got north of $2 for Coco Gauff. So she is your winner of the French Open, her second career Grand Slam, and overcomes being down 7-6 after the first series. Another quick update, Louisville just went yard against Miami. So the Cardinals now up 4-1 on the Canes in that super regional. The bros are out there celebrating with no shirts in Louisville. Maybe put a shirt on. We don't need to see that, Louisville fans. But yes, the frat bros out there drinking some beers on a looks like a garage out in left field in Louisville. But the Cardinals have taken a 4-1 lead against Miami. North Carolina just underway against Arizona as well. We'll keep you updated on that. But sticking with the college theme, earlier this week on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, which you can get wherever you get your podcasts, I had pro handicapper Paul Stone on the program, and we went through a couple of his favorite game of the year lines that he has already bet, a couple win totals that he has already bet. But I wanted to focus here on a week one game. And while there are so many tremendous games in week one, when you look at Texas and Ohio State, LSU and Clemson, Notre Dame, Miami, one that I do think is under the radar and also could kind of send one of these two teams in opposite directions is Auburn at Baylor. You've got a returning quarterback in Sawyer Robertson who has put up some really impressive numbers throughout his career. I feel like a bit underrated. And then you've got an Auburn team that busy in the portal, got Jackson Arnold and Ashton Daniels, two sitting P4 quarterbacks, starting quarterbacks to come to Auburn, in addition to a five-star recruit in Deuce Knight. So there's a whole lot building up to this game on a Friday night in Waco, where guess what? You've got a home dog situation in week one. Paul Stone's thoughts on Baylor hosting Auburn week one of the college football season.
So over their final seven games of the 2024 season, they averaged basically 40 points a game. They return Robertson. They return a 1,000-yard rusher in Bryson Washington. their top receiver, Josh Cameron, also a dynamic return man. And then they return four offensive linemen. You can't ever underestimate the big guys up front. Defensively, they gave up almost 29 points a game, gave up 403 yards per game. They need to get better, and I think they'll be a little bit better on defensively, on the defensive side of the ball, although certainly their bread and butter is playing high-octane offense. You look at Auburn, they finished 5-7 last year, another losing record for the Tigers. Three of their five victories over Alabama, A&M, New Mexico, and Louisiana Monroe. The Tigers do play in the tougher league, though. Should be better. You know, they picked up some pieces in the transfer portal, and certainly to me, the top of those being Georgia Tech wide receiver Eric Singleton Jr. That guy's caught over 100 passes the last couple of years. So a big-time pickup there for the Tigers. And you mentioned their quarterback situation. All three of those guys might play. I know they would like Jackson Arnold to be the guy and have Deuce Knight, you know, wait his turn, so to speak. But Jackson Arnold certainly lukewarm results, to put it mildly, there at Oklahoma. So we'll see how that all pans out. They could play one or all three before the season ends. But again, I like this Baylor team. I love their offense. They're getting some points. I like Baylor plus 2.5 over Auburn.
There you go. Paul Stone in on Baylor. Who should we be in on for today's Belmont Stakes? Kenny Rice. He'll join us and tell us who we should be looking at. Should we be looking at sovereignty, Baeza, journalism, and the trifecta? He'll tell us next. It is the VSIN Weekend Morning Line.
Tuned in to the VSIN Weekend Morning Line.
We keep it rolling here on a glorious Saturday. Congratulations to Coco Gauff, your French Open winner. The American overcomes a loss in the first set. She wins the next two sets for her second career Grand Slam. Shouts to our guy, Zach Cohen. He read his write-up over at VSiN.com. He liked Coco Gauff plus 1.5 sets. He also liked her on the money line. And both of those, of course, come on home. So congratulations to Coco Gauff as she wins her second career Grand Slam. First American to win on the clay over at Roland Garros since Serena did it back in 2015. So it'd been a decade. But Coco Gauff gets the win today. And she wins her second career Grand Slam. All right, let's head to our progressive guest line. I'm excited to talk to our next guest. My guy, Kenny Rice from NBC. He's kicking back. He's going to be enjoying the Belmont Stakes instead of, you know, walking around and getting all muddy. You know, Kenny, I mean, we saw you at the Kentucky Derby. We talked to your colleague, Brittany Erton, prior to the Derby as well. And you guys had to, you know, get the raincoats on. Now you just get to sit in the comfort of your home. It's someone else's problem today. Some other network, right?
Yeah, I don't have to worry about it. I'm with you, man. We'll just sit here and we can bet and we can watch and enjoy it. And I'll say, darn it, look at those poor guys wading through that mud. I hope none of them fall down in it. That'd be embarrassing.
Kenny Rice joining us here, courtesy of our progressive guest line. All right, Kenny, this is the second year we've had the Belmont Stakes at Saratoga. So for those new to it, not aware of it, what do we need to know about the differences of Belmont versus what we'll see today at Saratoga Springs?
It's gigantic. You know, the Belmont Stakes has always been the test of the champion. It was the mile and a half event, and that would decide it. After a mile and a quarter in the Derby and a mile and 3/16 in the Preakness, then the mile and a half in the Belmont, which is rare because there's not that many mile and a half dirt races. There's just not. And so that was what made the Belmont special. Now, because they've torn down Belmont Park as we knew it, and they're building a new Belmont Park, it's basically, you would call it the test of a champion if the champion was running at a Derby distance of a mile and a quarter. And as you know, Tim, while that quarter of a mile doesn't sound like a big deal, maybe in a car race it wouldn't be, but in a horse race it's a real big deal as far as the pacing's concerned. And honestly, in some ways it worked out best for racing this year, because I'm not sure that journalism, who's going to be the odds-on favorite, the Preakness winner, I don't know if Michael McCarthy, the trainer, would have taken him back if it was a mile and a half. It's awful daunting to go through all three of those races. But a mile and a quarter, makes it more appealing. I think that's probably why Bob Baffert has Rodriguez also in this race.
Well, you were down there at Churchill Downs. It was an amazing race. The Preakness was also an awesome race as well. But we've got the three guys, the three horses that went 1-2-3. In the Derby. They're back here. We've got the Kentucky Derby winner in Sovereignty after skipping the Preakness. He will race. He'll be out of the two posts. We've got Baeza, who was the addition into the Derby field and then finished third. And then we've got Journalism, who ultimately, as you mentioned, won the Preakness. So let's handicap those three before going a little bit further down the board, Kenny. Let's start with the favorite, though, in Journalism, as you mentioned. Won the Preakness, was the favorite to win the Derby. What do we expect from Journalism today in Saratoga?
I think that he'll run a little different race than he ran in the Preakness. I don't think he's going to get caught in the traffic that he did in the Preakness, where it turned into an MMA event for a moment, you know, when he come barreling through between horses to win that. That was an amazing run. I don't know if we'll ever see something like that again without all kinds of red flags thrown, but it was a spectacular, daring ride. He won that. I don't think he'll be in that kind of trouble now. He'll be a little closer to the pace, because it's going to be a hot pace, I believe, to run at. And he's not a horse that's a closer anyway, so I think he'll be a little more close to the pace. He has to be the one to beat right now. I mean, you try to beat him from a gambling standpoint because you're not going to get a really return on him.
Sure.
But McCarthy's done a great job with him. He's been the best three-year-old all year long, and I think he still gets a nod, just a nod, over Sovereignty today. But I think they're the best two, and we'll see if there's a surprise in there, maybe with Baeza. And they're the top three from the Derby. They might be the top three today. I think somebody's going to sneak in there, though.
Kenny Rice joining us here, helping us handicap the Belmont Stakes live from Saratoga. We're going to have plenty of coverage for you all day long. Mike Somich will be on the air as the race happens, so make sure to stay tuned here to VEASAN. Let's get to Sovereignty. Does not race the Preakness, Kenny. So does the rest help Sovereignty after winning the Derby and now being ready to go for the Belmont today?
Yeah, you know, I think that's exactly what his trainer, Bill Mott, thought, Tim. I mean, he didn't hesitate. You know, usually they will try to wait around and see if they're going to run in the Derby's almost an automatic. You win the Derby, you're going to run in the Preakness, and that's an automatic. But not in this case. I mean, Bill Mott gave it a couple of days, and he said, no, we're not going to run in the Preakness at all. We're going straight to the Belmont. So he made his decision early, and he's had him up there. And so that's what he's been doing, is getting him ready for this Belmont Stakes. So Mott's a great trainer. He knows that racetrack well at Saratoga. And I think that's what he's doing as far as getting this horse ready is, he's going to have him there. He's going to be right there. He's going to be close to the pace running. So I think that he's going to probably, he's probably going to be right there. You know, those should be the best two running at that moment.
Talk once again to Kenny Rice, who's joining us here courtesy of our Progressive guest line. And, Kenny, can we give you a quick call back? We're getting a little bit of feedback. So let's see if we could reconnect with Kenny here in just a moment. So let's see if we could do that here on the fly. He just mentioned it. Journalism, your favorite there. Sovereignty sitting at 2-1. While we try to reconnect with Kenny here, let's just remind you of this deal we've got courtesy of our friends over at FirstBet. As you know, Horse Races Triple Crown wraps up today with the Belmont Stakes at Saratoga. You can get in on the action with our friends at FirstBet. Play in the free FirstBet and VSiN Belmont Stakes Pick'em Challenge. You can enter your picks for Saturday's top races to win great prizes, up to a $500 wagering voucher from FirstBet. So make sure to head on over to vsin.com/Belmont to play. That's vsin.com/Belmont. So a fun promo there we've got from our friends over at FirstBet. You can bet on the Belmont Stakes. And once again, you get a free $200 sign-up bonus if you use that promo code VSIN200. All right, let's bring back in Kenny Rice. I might have been crazy. Maybe I just heard it in my ear, Kenny. So I apologize as I made things a little bit awkward there. But let's get to Baeza, because this was a horse that I heard so many people talk about. If he were to get in the field at the Derby, that he was going to be a contender, and ultimately he was, right? Finished third and very had a good chance to win. So for you, when you look at Baeza coming out of the sixth post, do you think he's someone that you need to put in your, you know, exacta, in your trifecta type boxes here?
He's certainly a superfecta horse. I mean, I think he's one of the top four horses in it. I think basically, Tim, it comes down to sovereignty versus California. You know, that's kind of what we have here. You know, is it going to be Journalism Baez or a Rodriguez beating Sovereignty? Mm-hmm. You know, those are the three best, I think, that has a shot at him. Baez certainly does. You know, John Sheriff's, again, he's pointed him toward this race. He was hoping he'd get in the Derby. He ran well in the Derby. He's done nothing wrong as far as getting into this race. Again, he's another horse that benefits at a mile and a quarter. And at a mile and a quarter, he benefits. And that's why I think he'll be in this race. He'll be right there, probably in that second tier, challenging with Journalism and Baeza. You know, they're going to be right behind everybody, and Sovereignty's not going to be too far back in that. And if you had one of those bets, you know, where you could, if you could come out and say, you know, have a bet where, you know, like a coin flip mm-hmm. in football, if you could have a bet, you'd bet Crudo or Rodriguez. Who's going to be leading going into the first quarter in this race? That's going to be the thing, because they're both going to be burning out there. It'll probably be a 22 and change quarter. So there's going to be a hot pace to run at. And the main contenders are Journalism and Sovereignty right behind them, and maybe Baeza. They're all going to be not too far back from the two pace setters, I think, the way this race will shape up.
Belmont Stakes today there at Saratoga. Kenny Rice, NBC Sports, joining us here courtesy of our Progressive Guest Line. All right, Kenny, we know you're going to be sitting back like us today, and you're going to be enjoying it, betting on it. So how are you building your bets today?
Well, I'm going to try to beat Journalism. I think he's the horse to beat, but, you know, he's odds on. So if you try to bet him, it's hard not to look at Sovereignty. You're going to get 2-1 on maybe the second best, if not the best, 3-year-old out there. But I would, you know, then put after that, Baez is probably going to be there, but I'm going to give you one long shot. Hill Road, who won the Peter Pan Stakes and is trained by Chad Brown. He's going to be about 8-1, 10-1. And I'm going to put him in the top three because he's a good closer. There's going to be speed to close at. But it should look a lot like the Kentucky Derby down the stretch, where it's Journalism, Baez, and Sovereignty. And I think that, you know, a slight nod to Sovereignty by like that much, it wouldn't surprise me. I would box the exacta with the two favorites, Journalism and Sovereignty, and then, you know, finish out your super, put Baez and Hill Road in there.
Kenny, always appreciate it. Love the insight as always, and we will be talking to you soon, no doubt.
Anytime, Tim. Thank you. Good to see you.
There he is. Kenny Rice joining us courtesy of our Progressive Guest Line. He is from NBC, and you usually see him on the coverage of the Derby, as well as the Preakness, and today it'll be on Fox. So he'll be sitting back like us, watching the race and betting on it. And we've got plenty of action for you all throughout the day. Mike Somich will have a live program, as he has for the past two rounds. Chuck Esposito, he's going to join us next. He'll give us the latest from behind the counter and his thoughts as well on the Belmont Stakes.
You're tuned in to the VSiN Weekend Morning Line.
Busy day ahead, right? We've got baseball galore, college baseball. We've got the French Open just wrapping up on the women's side. Coco Gauff, the dog today, around plus 190 or so, depending on what book you looked at. And she wins her second career Grand Slam. First American to win on the clay over at Roland Garros in 10 years since Serena Williams. So a whole lot to get to. Of course, last night we saw a thriller between the Panthers and the Oilers, 5-4, the final score. And you might be wondering, all right, was that a good result or was that a bad result for the books? Well, I'm glad you asked, because our next guest will give you that answer. So let's do it. Let's go behind the counter.
Where are the lines changing and where's the money going? Let's go behind the counter.
One of our favorites here on VSiN, Chuck Esposito, joins us courtesy of our Progressive Guest Line to give us the latest from behind the counter. Chuck, let's start with the Stanley Cup Final, because it's been riveting stuff. And I know as a house, as a local shop here in town, you would prefer the Golden Knights to be there just from a handle standpoint. But we get this showdown of last year's Stanley Cup. Game one goes over. We get a comeback from the Oilers. Game two goes over. Double overtime. So we'll start with the total. First period over, easy cash. Full game over, easy cash. Two high-powered offenses. Bettors tend to like overs. So was that a poor result for you guys that the game did go over last night between the Panthers and Oilers?
I'm simply going to say boo to the total because, yes, it was. I mean, I think you look at these two teams and a very evenly matched, a great series last year that went seven games, Tim. Kind of a weird series last year where Florida won the first three, Edmonton then won the second three, and then game seven was a 2-1 final. Three games went over last year, three games went under, and one game fell right on the number six. But we were definitely under fans, no question. And there was a late push yesterday on Florida money. So preferably for us, it would have been Edmonton and under. Wasn't the great result, but overall, the handle's been terrific. And a lot of interest in this with a Canadian team not winning the Cup in 32 years and knowing that, you know, Gretzky lost to the Islanders, came back the next year and won in 83-84. Crosby lost. And I think it was 08-09, came back the next year and won. And now McDavid lost last year to Florida. Can he come back and win the Cup now? So from a handle perspective, still really, really good action.
You know, Chuck, I'm looking at it right now, and you guys are kind of right there with the market. Actually, I'll say this. If you do like the Panthers, you're one of the better prices out there from a series standpoint. You're at $1.20 towards the Panthers, even money towards the Oilers. Where were you entering this series from a future standpoint and also just a series standpoint with the Oilers and the Panthers?
Well, I think you looked at it, and they were so closely kind of geared. And the fact that game one would be in Edmonton and game seven, if it went seven, would be in Edmonton. We opened Edmonton a 6-5 favorite in the series. It was bet up to minus $1.30. But overall, Tim, I think, you know, we kind of talked about it throughout the season. The only team that we had serious liability on going into the playoffs was VGK. And as you touched on in the intro, I mean, we do miss having VGK in it because of the handle and the atmosphere and the hype. But not from the business side of it, where there was a lot of liability. We'd be rooting against them from the business side every game. So in really good shape with these two teams going in. But Edmonton was bet up initially from 6-5 to minus $1.30 in the series.
Chuck Esposito joining us courtesy of our Progressive Guest Line, race and sportsbook director for the Red Rock Casino here in Las Vegas, part of the Stations Casino Group. And I'm looking at the Stations app right now from a total standpoint for game three. You're at 6.5 juiced under at minus 115. A couple other shops here in the market are at minus 120 towards the under. And looking back at what we just saw, right, it was 6.5 juiced under. Under a little bit more juice towards the under in game two. But as you mentioned, I'm sure folks were intrigued by taking the plus money to the over. At this point, knowing how your clientele goes about it, is this just going to be a situation where they're going to keep betting the over until we see an under come home in this series?
Yeah, I'm sure they will. Even if we see an under in the next game, they're still going to bet the over the rest of the series. It's just these two teams, and I think you look at Edmonton and how many goals they scored in the postseason, and even Florida. I think Florida at home is a much different team, and I think they can play an under game and win it, yet they scored a lot of goals in the postseason, and some of those series that they had, they really opened it up a lot and scored, and I think you look at these two teams, and although a contrast in styles somewhat, Florida can definitely score if they need to. So I'm sure we're going to be big under fans in every game, especially Monday when they drop the puck for the first game in Florida with the series tied 1-1.
Chuck Esposito once again hanging with us, checking and giving us the latest from behind the counter. We don't get an NBA Finals game tonight, so more time for folks to sit back and decide what they're going to do from a betting standpoint. Before we get to game two, how was the result for you guys in game one? Because, you know, I was sitting here with humans on Thursday night. It was a 15-point lead for the Thunder with 9 and change to go. And I was thinking, all right, maybe this gets a little weird with the point spread. And then lo and behold, the Pacers win the game. So I'm always curious for you guys because I was sitting here at Circa watching the patrons go nuts because I'm sure they took some big money line prices. With the Pacers winning outright, did that end up skewing the results for you guys? How was game one for you guys?
It did, unfortunately. In a lot of cases, I know we've talked about it again over the last year or so in different sports. We're rooting for an underdog at times, especially on pro football Sundays or big college football Saturdays, a few underdogs to win outright. But an isolated game like this, being a finals game one, there was a lot of Pacers love on the money line for us. And I think industry-wide, from what I've heard, best-case scenario would have been OKC 1-9. So the total was okay, but we still were profitable in the game, but it would have been much better had OKC won the game, not covered. An Indiana outright win was bad from what we paid out on the money line.
You know, Chuck, a lot of folks on, I'll just say, other networks are curious about, oh, the ratings aren't going to be great. And we at VSiN, I think, don't care. I want entertaining basketball. And we got that, especially in the fourth quarter. But that all being said, for you guys, knowing that, you know, we're a Laker town, we're a town that I imagine a lot of your clientele has a team that probably isn't the Thunder or the Pacers. Did you see a downtick at all in handle for game one?
We really didn't, Tim. I mean, I'm not going to lie and say that, you know, could it have been an effect? Yes. I mean, as we talked about for hockey, VGK in it is much different. Having the Lakers and Knicks in it, it could have been much different. But there's so many ways to bet the game on the app, so many props. It's still the finals in these two sports. It's a great story with Indiana being the sixth seed, OKC with SGA being so good. Overall, our handle was great on these games. It's been fun. We've taken some big bets, and you know, I'm looking forward to Game 3 in the NHL and Game 2 in the NBA.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Once again, Chuck Esposito joining us. All right, let's get to Game 2, because right now I'm looking at your app, OKC minus 11, total sitting at 228.5. You know, there's the thought process of the zigzag, and I talked about it. Look, you've got to pay a tax if you're going to play the first half like I have. And, you know, you guys, unfortunately, I say this with all due respect, unfortunately, you're not dummies, and you do you make us pay that tax on first halves, Chuck, as you guys are sitting there at, I believe, you're sitting at 8 like the rest of the market there with the expectation that OKC is going to play well out of the gates. But look into your crystal ball a little bit come tomorrow night. Knowing that the Pacers won game one, and now instead of 10 points, you're getting 11 points, do you think the dog is going to be of interest to your clientele come tomorrow night?
I don't think so. You know, I think we're going to need Indiana. I think you look at OKC and a team that was number one in the league against the point spread this year, had more double-digit wins than anybody else. They're a young team. Maybe that game one, a little bit of the atmosphere and everything involved. You had a 15-point lead at a few different intervals throughout the game. But I think now, hey, it's a little bit of a wake-up call. I think you see a much different OKC team. I was surprised. We opened the game 11.5. The initial push was down. I've even seen some lower numbers industry-wide. I still think when this game tips tomorrow night, you're going to see this game close higher than where it is right now. And my guess is we're going to be Pacer fans. That's just what I feel right now. And, you know, looking at ticket counts, they still favor OKC, although the initial push was down. So my guess is we're going to be Pacer fans tomorrow night, Tim.
Real quickly, Chuck, we're a UFC town, right? It's housed here, so we have a lot of UFC fans that live here in this city. And we've got a notable fighter, right? Sugar Shane O'Malley, someone who people like to bet on. He's a big dog tonight against Merab. What do you think here in the final 30 seconds you'll see from an action standpoint for UFC 316?
You know, we're still going to need Merab like we did last time. I think last time it opened up Merab a minus $1.90 when they fought in the Sphere in September of last year, and it went down to Pick'em. They're still betting O'Malley. You look at ticket count, it is doubled in favor of O'Malley. So, you know, I know he didn't look good in that fight, but they're still taking a chance. I think there's just too much value on him getting a plus price.
Chuck, always appreciate it, and we'll talk soon.
All right, Tim. Sounds great. Thanks.
There he is, our guy. Red Rock Casino Stations, part of the Stations Group there. He is the man who runs that shop. Hey, folks, just a reminder, if you want to check out what we've got going on over at VSiN.com, we've got a good new promotion going on. Promo code BOOK. You get yourself a VSiN Pro subscription for a full year, $199, and a free pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Josh Applebaum.
Tuned in to the VSiN Weekend Morning Line.
Putting a bow on the show, it is the VSiN Weekend Morning Line. I'm with you every Saturday and Sunday here on the network, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. So that means, guess what? I'll be with you tomorrow morning, recapping what we see tonight and, of course, getting you ready for Game 2 of the NBA Finals. Interesting to hear from Chuck Esposito. Always love catching up with Chuck, giving us the latest from behind the counter. And he felt like that number right now sitting at 11 market-wide in favor of the Oklahoma City Thunder will go up. And he thinks they ultimately will be big Pacer fans. And I wasn't surprised to hear that the result on Thursday was not ideal, because you're going to get more often than not folks taking that shot on the money line. So they wanted to thread the needle. They wanted the Pacers to cover, but not win outright. They ultimately did win outright. And that is where we sit. So a lot tomorrow, obviously, getting you ready for game number 2 of the NBA Finals. And I did, as mentioned earlier when we did our best bets, lay 7.5 in the first half. Yes, I paid the tax. I'm well aware of that. So I could certainly look like a moron when it comes to that one. But I look at the way that they've responded so far. We'll dive into it much more so tomorrow. But I think you're going to get quite the effort out of the shoot here from Oklahoma City. And I thought the one thing that jumped out to me from Chris Miles when we talked to him, as he was there in the arena following the game on Thursday night, was that this Oklahoma City team, whether it's right or wrong, didn't look fazed. And we'll see how they come out, what adjustments they make. I would certainly anticipate we see maybe a little bit of Hartenstein and Chet at some point together in that lineup. And as Chris mentioned too, it was a bit perplexing. Like, wait, what? Kasen Wallace, he's going to start? Okay, that's what we're going to do here. Yes, that'll be, of course, tomorrow, Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final on Monday night. And we'll get some thoughts on the Stanley Cup Final more so tomorrow as well. A quick update from what's going on across the sports world here on a Saturday morning. Coco Gauff, your French Open champion, first American to win the French Open since Serena did it back in 2015. She is now a two-time Grand Slam winner. Coco Gauff is. She won the U.S. Open just a couple years ago. So Coco Gauff is now a French Open champion, winning 6-7, 6-2, 6-4 at around a plus 190 dog, we'll call it. And I wish I had kept tabs on what the live market was after dropping the first set and what you could have got Coco Gauff at after she dropped that first set to Sabalenka as an underdog, losing that first set. Coco Gauff comes back. She wins in 2 hours and 38 minutes the French Open. So her second career Grand Slam, just at the age of 21. Certainly feels like a superstar in the making there in Coco Gauff here, which is great to see, great to hear. And also Zachary Cohen, he's got his write-up for the French Open men's final tomorrow. Carlos Alcaraz and Yannick Sinner. And that is essentially a pick'em. A slight edge towards, I believe, Yannick Sinner, the one seed heading into tomorrow. But I'm not going to pretend to handicap that. Leave it to Zach Cohen, who, by the way, was in on Coco Gauff, I think, from a pre-tournament standpoint as well as prior to today. And that's what his write-up showed there. But I misspoke. Alcaraz is actually your slight favorite at minus 115 against Sinner tomorrow morning. So we'll be on the air. We'll be watching the French Open final tomorrow morning as well. Tonight, UFC 316. It should be a fun one. You just heard from Chuck Esposito, and he is not surprised to see what we are seeing, which is we are seeing a lot of Shane O'Malley money coming into the market. Right now, O'Malley, depending on where you look, as high as a plus 235 dog against Merab, as this is a rematch of the fight they had at the Sphere back in September, September 14th of 24. And looking back at the closing number here, Sean O'Malley closed as a, we'll call it an even money dog at DraftKings and Circa. There were some shops where he actually closed as the favorite and Merab won a unanimous decision. Now, as we sit here on June 7th, 9 months later, he's at plus 240 at some shops. So we're going to hear from Brett Okamoto in just a moment on this fight. But let's hear from Merab and his thoughts heading into the second fight against Sean O'Malley tonight in New Jersey.
This is new fight. This is new challenge. Like Sean said, he will be 70% better. I'm expecting to. He will be better version of himself last time. And this is new fight. I know now he's humble, but he wants to knock me out, and I'm here to not let him do that. You know, I'm going to break him, and after we can be friends, no problem. But June 7, we are enemies again.
They could be friends after, though. That's a good thing to note with Merab and O'Malley. So right now we sit here. Minus 270 in favor of Merab, O'Malley at plus 230. As Chuck Esposito said, O'Malley money coming in. And we had Brett Okamoto from ESPN on earlier in the show, live from New Jersey, giving us his thoughts on this fight. So here's a piece of that conversation, looking at the main event tonight at the Prudential Center, O'Malley versus Merab. When we look at the total in this one, it's 4.5 juiced over. In the last, five fights that Merab fought, they've all gone the distance, went to the cards, and they went to the cards there against O'Malley. Is that just who he is? Do you see this? Can this end before it goes to the cards, in your opinion, Brett?
It certainly can. I mean, you got two guys who are obviously very, very talented at what they do. And Sean, especially, is a sniper. He is a guy who, if he connects on you well. But Merab has gotten harder to hit as his career has progressed. I think that's one thing he knew. He had to work up on his defense. He had to work on his balance. He was kind of, even Sean after the last fight said he's a little sloppy, but he's almost effective sloppy, where you don't know where he's going. He's kind of herky-jerky. It's hard to land real clean on him. It's not surprising to me at all that it's juiced to the over. I think it probably will go all five rounds, but you know, again, if you're believing in what you're seeing from O'Malley and you think that he's going to come in the best version of himself, which I do think he will, and you want to take a shot on him, but yeah, he can definitely win by knockout. So if you like Sean and you're getting plus 200 on the under, it's possible. But yeah, I would probably take Sean as a side before I would take a total on this one.
All right, so he kind of leaned towards Sean, and once again, it's just pointing out the difference of where we were in September, went off as a pick, and now O'Malley in that 230-235 range. Our betting splits over at VSiN.com have O'Malley getting 55% of the bets, 84% of the money. That is at DraftKings, and we will get the circa odds, circa splits, I should say, a little bit later. But Chuck Esposito let us know 2-1 the tickets on O'Malley. As for the co-main, Kayla Harrison is a massive favorite, and there's a lot of expectation and excitement for what could come after this fight, with Amanda Nunes announcing that she is coming out of retirement, and Brett pretty much emphatically said it's going to be Nunes fighting the winner of this fight tonight, and Kayla Harrison is out to a minus $6 favorite against Juliana Pena. So let's hear from Kayla Harrison, who is not the champ, but she is the heavy favorite, minus $6 as she heads into this title fight tonight.
When I talk about a mountain, you know, I really think that there's no peak. It's just every step. Every day I want to wake up and be the best possible version of myself. And I'm grateful to Juliana because she's bringing out another newer, better version of me. And after I whoop her, I'm coming for Amanda.
There you go. The bravado there, very calm, and then saying, yeah, I'll take care of business tonight, and then it will be Amanda Nunes, and there will be a ton of anticipation for that fight if it ultimately plays out that way. Make sure you check out vsin.com/picks for all of the betting action that comes in throughout the day for UFC 316, for the Belmont Stakes as well. Of course, our guy Mike Somich. We have also Dave Tooley. His write-up is up over at vsin.com. So a little note with the Belmont taking place later this afternoon. Coming up next, it'll be Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Grace Remington. Grace is stepping in for Mike, who will be on later today as we get the special live bet Saturday at the track, Road to the Belmont, starting at 6 p.m. tonight. So you get plenty of Mike Somich in your life throughout the show, or throughout the day, I should say, getting you ready for the Belmont Stakes. Before we get out of here, I just wanted to circle back to a couple of best bets that were tossed out there from a college baseball standpoint, as we heard from Matt Grissom earlier in the show. He was a big believer in UNC, that they would take care of business. And right now, the Tar Heels do have, or actually are now, tied at 2 apiece. But still to come today from Grissom, he was a believer in the bounce-back spot for Florida State on the road in Corvallis. They squandered a three-run lead in the ninth inning last night, but he does think Florida State gets it done today on the money line. They're around minus 155, and he also likes UTSA, and I'm with him as well. I bet UTSA to win the L.A. Regional at plus 145. Also worth noting, Jensen Lewis, who is busy right now on the call of UNC Arizona, he likes Auburn today against Coastal Carolina. All right, that's going to do it for our show. We're back tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern time, to get you ready for the NBA Finals. Up next, it's Ready, Set, Bet with Grace and Matt right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.